Sunday school class is now down where the conference room used to be in rooms 206 and 208 because they've outgrown their room. Say hallelujah. And the conference room is now Paul's old Sunday school room. First room on the right as you start down the second floor hall. That's the new conference room. So that's great news. And in the coming year, just to let you know, we're going to be starting some new classes and some new Bible studies. Don't have a date yet, but I do have a date for the Senior Saints Bible study. It will be Wednesday mornings, 11 a.m. here in the church, probably in Brother Paul's room. And then we'll still have the Wednesday night study. We hope to have a college and career class started, teacher to be determined yet. And I'm probably going to, in between teaching the new members class, until we get another group of people, I'm going to teach a class that'll be entitled Grounded and Equipped. At some point, I'll begin that in January. So that'll deal with faith matters, and it'll also deal with you being able to become equipped to share your faith and to help others on the journey. So just all of those are we need your prayers on them, and all of those are things that we hope to start in January. And college and career class was to be determined yet as far as the teacher goes and also as far as the date when we start. But January 8th, we do have the Senior Saints Bible study. We'll start at 11 a.m. on that, and we'll go from there. So with all of that said, take your Bibles tonight and turn to Mark chapter 4. We're in the 14th study of this wonderful, wonderful gospel book. And while you're looking for the 35th verse of Mark chapter 4, who can tell me who Mark's gospel was primarily written for? The Romans. The key verse in Mark. What's the chapter? What's the verse number? Who has it memorized? Somebody other than Sherry. She quotes it for you every week. So who has it memorized? Gloria, give it a shot. Amen. Amen. Let's give her a round of applause tonight. Sherry, this is for you too. Why is it so key to memorize Scripture? And don't be one of these that says, well, you know, I try, but I can't do it. Because you can do it. Because I can't should never be in your vocabulary. Because the Bible says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the one who teaches us the Scriptures is the Holy Spirit of God. And so we can do. And can't should never be in the church's vocabulary. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But the reason you need to understand these verses and the reason you need to take hold of the teachings of what God has for us in the Bible, whether I'm teaching or Paul or Steve or any of the other Sunday school teachers are teaching, or I'm preaching, or you're listening on the radio to somebody, you need to get the Word of God in the only place that's going to do any good in your heart, because someday you're going to be somewhere and somebody's going to have a need and you're not going to have your Bible on you. And you're going to need to know what God's Word says. And you can't be fumbling around with your iPhone trying to get to your Bible app going like, hold on a minute, while you're punching keys because they're no longer listening. You got to know it. Beyond that, you overcome Satan by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 12:11. So the more you know, the better equipped you are, and that's what the Christian life is all about. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And we're to be conformed. We're to be lights in a dark place. We're to be conformed to the image of Christ. And let us pray that as we go through this life, in the days we might have left, however many they might be, that when people look at us, they will see Jesus Christ in us more and more. And then when we're out there in those dark places, we'll be able to have the Word of God in our heart, and He'll bring it to our mind. Remember now, God said, Jesus told the disciples, don't worry about what you're going to say. It'll be given you in that moment when you need it. So hang on to that. Believe the Bible. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. The Word of our Lord says to us, and pay close attention here tonight, in the same day, when the evening was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest Thou not that we perish? And He arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Now, I want to say something to you tonight that I shared at the men's breakfast with the men on Monday morning, and that's the fact that God's servant, Jesus Christ, is the master of everything. And that means He's the master of every situation. You are a child now, I pray, of the living God through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And Job is our great example that nothing now can come into your life that God does not allow. So if God allows it, He's going to see you through it. That makes sense to y'all? And so there's tests of faith that are going to come. It's easy to claim we have faith. But friend, a faith that can't be tested can't be proven. And our faith must be proven. And so He's the master of every situation. He's the conqueror of every enemy that we have. And so I want you to understand this. If we trust Jesus Christ and follow His Word, we will never need to be afraid if we trust Him. Because when you fear and trust Jesus Christ, guess what you don't have to fear? Nothing else. Nothing else. Probably the greatest thing that men and women fear today is death. Isn't that true? We know there's something on the other side. We trust that we're going home to heaven, and we believe that we're going home to heaven. The only problem is we don't know what it's like. But down here, we're comfortable, don't we? Because we can see and we can touch. But friend, understand this. If you were called to be martyred for your faith, where are you going to be in the next moment? To be absent from the body, the Bible tells us, and be present with the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no what? For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Here's what I believe. I believe for the Christian, when they pass from this life into the next, Jesus' arms are open wide. We just walk into the arms of a loving Savior. And we're going to hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if we have done well. Let's pray we do well. The victory is already ours in Jesus Christ. That's going to be proven here tonight. We are not fighting for a victory. When Jesus said it was finished from the cross, the victory was already won. What we're doing down here is running the race, and we're to be running it, laying aside every weight that would so easily beset us, so that we can run the race with endurance. Faith has to be strengthened. Faith has to be tried. It has to be tested in order to be strengthened. Listen, I used this illustration before, and if you've heard it before, chalk it up to preacher story, whatever you want. But if all you ever do is lift a 5-pound weight, after a while that gets pretty easy. All you are is a 5-pounder. But now you've got a 10-pound problem, and you're not certain you can do that. But if you struggle and you try, you can soon get up to become a 10-pound Christian. And on and on and on. So understand, we are strengthening our spiritual muscles. And that's what's going on here in this passage. Now, we're about ready to enter a new section here in Mark. It'll take us from chapter 4, verse 35 here. And you may want to write this down if you take notes. And it's going to take us all the way through chapter 5, verse 43. And the theme of this whole section of Scripture is victory. What is the Baptist national anthem? You better believe it. Whenever I hear that song, we're singing the national anthem of Baptists, Victory in Jesus. And so we're going to look at four miracles that Jesus performs here, and each of these miracles is going to teach us about the defeat of the enemy. God never intended for His child to live in fear. So let's talk for just a moment about what are some things that cause us to fear circumstances and the things of life more than God. What are some things people worry about? Money. Let me tell you about money. Money ain't worth spit. There's an antidote to worrying about money. But my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. That's all you need to know. Friend, why worry? Why worry about money? Why worry about this and that? Why worry about anything when God has already promised us, but my God shall meet all my need? Does that mean He's going to leave us out without enough money to do our thing? Now, if you're irresponsible, you may do without. But if you're being responsible, fearing God, and doing what you should with your money, even when the bills look higher than the income, God's going to take care of you, because God always supplies your need. There's another thing. Deal with money. Luke 6:38. God says, with the measure you give, I'm going to press it down, shake it together. It's going to come running over. And there's one other one that I'm forgetting. But it's going to give us back. It's going to be measured back to us. There's a fourfold promise in Luke 6:38. I gave you three of them. I left one out. It's just not coming to my mind tonight for whatever reason. But listen, when you do what you're supposed to, according to what God determines, who's got the bigger shovel, you or God? So when you shovel it in according to what God does, God says, I'm going to turn around and shovel it back on you. Can you outgive the giver? No, you cannot. God can do abundantly more than we could ever ask, think, or hope. Barry, I'm glad you brought up money, but that's enough of that. All right? What else do we worry about? Health. Health. We worry about health. Which health do we worry about most, spiritual or physical? Physical. Friend, do you not know that since the day you were born, you had already begun to die and decay? Though you all look fine tonight, I'm looking at it eventually, if God tarries and the rapture doesn't take place soon, I'm looking at a bunch of physically dead people. Isn't that true? And I'm one of them. I mean, let's face it. When you get on up in my age bracket, it's all maintenance. You forget about looking good. It's just plain maintenance. So, you know, when you're young like Mike and Barry and them, you can look good still. But after you get up on where I am, it's just maintenance. we worry about the wrong thing. I can't tell you how many times, and let me just ask you, how many times have you heard people pray in church for so-and-so's bunions and broken leg and this, that, and the other thing, and they're lost? And we're praying for the wrong thing. A physical healing will do nobody any good, because eventually we're going to die. And think of being Lazarus for just a moment. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. They had to take the grave clothes off of him. You can only imagine how he must have smelled. But he had to die again. He had to die again. I don't know, but I might have been tempted, if he could have called me, to say, call someone else. I'm in heaven now. And if I ever fall out in church, don't call an ambulance. Don't call MedFlight. Throw me in the back of Steve Wallace's truck. I'll get there just as quick, and if I don't make it, I was meant to go. Got it? Okay. And so we worry about money. We worry about health. What else do we worry about? Our children. This goes for health, and it also goes for children. It also goes for any other thing you can think about worrying. First of all, let me tell you, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, don't get you anywhere. All right? In everything, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6, 33, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, too often, we're like the disciples here. We got our mind on the wrong thing. Only proving my point that we're more interested in what goes on down here than we are looking at where we're going. And so, God intends for you and I to be living in this world with confidence. And God is able to keep us safe. And God is able to keep us secure in His arms. I mean, Job went through a heck of a lot. Job went through probably more than any of us will ever go through. And yet, God sustained him. Here's another thing you need to know. God's not interested in your comfort. We're interested in our comfort. God could care less about our comfort. God is interested in our growth. See, we live in a world today of spiritual sissies. And God wants spiritual giants. He wants you and I to be like David, who can go out and face the giants of fear in our life, like the Goliaths of our world, and to slay them in the power in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the conqueror of everything. That's what God wants us to be like. And so we have that song, "What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arms." You see, it's where we position ourselves every day. Where are we leaning? What is our faith based upon? And so when you live in the confidence Christ provides, you do not ever have to be afraid. Okay? Nothing will come into your life that God does not allow. And so what God allows, if we lean on Him, He'll see us through. He knows how much, and He knows how long, and God will never give us more than we can handle. God knows us better than ourselves, doesn't He? But what God wants to do is strengthen us and grow us in the faith. So Jesus has been teaching the disciples His Word. And whenever the Lord begins to teach us, this is why, don't come to Sunday school just to be in Sunday school. Come to learn. Come to grow. Don't come to church, just show up, say, well, I've been to church. Aren't I a good Christian today, God? Come to learn. Come to grow. Don't come on Sunday nights just to show up. Come with a heart and a desire to learn and grow. You see, because whenever God teaches us, He's also going to test us. And so the reason so many people fail today in the test of life and falter in their faith is because they're not growing in Christ. So that when God puts His Word to the test in the life of that individual Christian, they've not put it in their heart. They've let it go through one ear and out the other. And they're not prepared for the test. And they fail and they falter. And so when God teaches, when His Word goes out, remember He says His Word never goes out what? Void. So when we hear it, we can be certain that at some point, that which we've heard, we're going to go through. Let me just ask a question tonight. How many of you have gone through something in the past, and then you're going through it again, and now you're going through it again? How many times have you gone through pretty much the same thing over and over? Something very similar. You face the same struggle, the same trial, the same circumstances over and over again. Well, here's why. Because you're always trying to figure out how you can get out of it instead of asking this question, God, what do you want me to learn in it? Okay? So if we come with the right attitude, say, God, here it is. This is what your word says. What do you want me to learn from this? Not how can I get out of it. You'll be much better off. This text teaches us that God gives practical tests to see how much we have really learned. How much we have really grown. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? What is wisdom? It is putting knowledge to use. Listen, you can get a lot of stuff up in here, can't you? But if you never put it to use, what good is it? And so, all these are the reasons why it's not enough for us just to come to church and learn a lesson or even be able to repeat a teaching, because we are called to be doers of what? The Word. That's one reason God permits trials to come into our life. And so what we need to understand is that this storm for the disciples was part of that day's curriculum. How many of you in here are school teachers, either active or retired? When you went to school, you had some curriculum to teach, didn't you? Why should it be any different with our Lord? We are children of the Most High God. And so it would help the disciples to understand the lesson that they needed to know. Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. How many of you, when a storm comes into your life, begin thinking how I can get out of it? What do I need to do to help? Maybe it's in the area of health. Maybe one of our family members, one of our children, something's dear and near to us, and we just don't trust God to handle it. So here's what we do. We jump in there and try to play God to help them get out of it. How many of you have ever done that before? Okay? Let me ask you a question. I had to look myself in the mirror. Are we God? Does God need our help? No, what we need to do is help our children understand to learn to trust in God by allowing them to allow God to do what He needs to do in them, and then we wouldn't have to face the same thing over and over again. And so, one another thing, people believe that the storms come into their lives because somehow, in some manner, some fashion, they've disobeyed God. Who's in the boat with these disciples? Jesus said, let's get in the boat. We'll go to the other side. Are the disciples in the storm because of disobedience? No, they're not. What had Job done in order to incite Satan's desire to ruin them. Not a thing. Sometimes we'll find ourselves in the midst of the storm simply because we're being obedient. We don't have to be disobedient to find ourselves in a storm. We can be obedient and be in the midst of one. There are three good solid reasons why the disciples should not have been disturbed, even though the situation was threatening. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are afraid of something? And how many of you would be courageous enough to admit, I'm afraid of something? And I'll be the first. I'm afraid of lightning. And here's why. I like to golf. And I'm old enough now where I ride the cart. I used to walk the course all the time. But as I aged, I discovered I can't outrun the storm. So can you just picture your pastor out there with his golf cart and golf clubs, and here comes a storm, and I used to run, now I waddle. And so there I am, waddling across the golf course, trying to get out of the rain and the storm. So that's why I take the cart. But I'm certain, how many of you when you were a child were afraid of the dark? There's always things that we're afraid of in this flesh, isn't there? And I'm just the only one courageous enough. Troy, I did see your hand up. So I thank you, my brother, for jumping out there with me. And you and I were courageous and the rest were cowards. So anyway. Now understand, first of all, what do they have? What is the first thing that they have that Jesus has told them here? And so look with me again at verse 38. And Gordon, read verse 38 nice and loud. 35, nice and loud. 35, I'm sorry. Now, what has Jesus promised them? Where are they going? Yeah. Do you get that? When Jesus says you're going to the other side, where are you going? You don't need to worry about how you're going to get there. My wife does that whenever we travel. She wants to know the plan and the directions. And I just say, let's get in the car and just go. We'll figure it out as we go. But not Michelle. She's got her trip tech. She's got everything down. And she has to know where she is going. And that makes us different. And that helps keep us compatible. But anyway, Jesus, they have the promise. And this is what I mean when I talk about, we sing that song, Standing on the Promises of Christ My Lord. Friend, do you just sing it or are you doing it? See, there's a theology in that song. That's why that's good music. There's promises in that song because they come from the promises of God's Word. Either you're standing or you're not. And the disciples are not standing on what Jesus has promised them. We've mentioned a few promises tonight. We don't need to worry about money. God's going to take care of all our needs. As long as we're responsible. As long as we're trying to do what we know we are to do with our money, God will take care of everything else. God knows we need to eat. Not how much we want to eat, but God will take care of all of our needs. Do you think that God doesn't know you need a roof over your head and blankets and clothes? He clothes the birds of the field. Listen, if he can clothe the birds of the field, he can clothe you and I. Do you realize God has fools like me who feed the birds of the field? So God knows how to feed them people. And so if God can take care of those birds because of people like me, he can certainly take care of me, can't he? And so we need to understand we have these promises. We don't need to worry because we can pray. And when we pray, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Don't ask me to explain it because God said it passes all understanding. You can't explain it either. But there will come a peace over us because we have prayed in faith, believing and trusting God. For example, maybe your child is lost tonight. Well, let me just ask you this question. Is it God's will that any should perish? No. How about this as a prayer? God, just let me remind you tonight, my child is lost. But Lord, you have said it's not your will that any should perish, and my child is one of them. Lord, wouldn't it be better to have one more voice praise you for all eternity than to allow this one, my loved one, to go off to a Christless eternity? Listen, God honors His Word. Lord, do you remember your arm is not too short that it cannot save, and your ear is not too dull that it cannot hear my prayer tonight? Those are promises of God. And so when we pray in that way, we're standing on the promises. God's promises are God's enablements to you and I to take that next step. Have you ever been in a position when you didn't know what to do? Get on the promises of God. It'll help you go to the next step. Stop trying to figure out how you can help God out. He doesn't need your help. And stop trying to play God in the lives of others and let them go through what they got themselves into, because God can do abundantly more than we could ever ask, hope, or think. Listen, when Sarah tried to help God out, well, we're still dealing with that in the Middle East in our day because of one woman trying to help God out. And the dumb man went right along with her suggestion. So, you know, we're all guilty. Say amen. Nothing can hinder the will of God and the working out of His plan. Listen, there was a time in my life, God knew when I would be saved. God, it was in His plan for me to come to salvation. I didn't know when, I didn't know where. But when I heard the Word of God and got convicted, and I lived in a godly home, so I was without excuse. See, God had placed in my life godly grandparents, godly parents, a godly church. So could you just imagine me rejecting Christ all the days of my life and saying, well, God, I never had a chance. Oh, yeah, I did. Because of godly grandparents, godly parents, and a godly church, I came to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and at 13 years of age, I prayed to receive salvation. That's not very exciting. Other people might have a whole lot more exciting testimony. But God saves, because nothing can hinder the will of God. And so we need to pray that our family members and those things, those areas where we try to help God out, God help our children, our whatever, walk in your will. Help me enable them to do so, not by enabling them to continue on the path they're on. And so we need to think about these things. And so, Jesus, did He promise the disciples an easy trip here? He just said, we're going to the other side. Some people will live a very hard life. Some of it's by choice. Some of it's because it's in the plan and will of God. Dorothy Bunch, who was a woman in my last church, who lived to be just a little over, well, she's 87. She lived 47 years free of cancer. The last 40 years of her life, she lived with cancer and dealt with the ravages of colon cancer for over 40 years. She was a godly woman, so God just kept sustaining her. She hadn't done anything wrong to receive cancer, had she? But in the will of God, God had determined He was going to make Dorothy a vessel of His grace. And I'd venture to say that Dorothy's testimony and her love for people was greater in the 47 years that she had cancer than it was in the 40 years she had cancer than it was in the 47 years she had without cancer. She was just a wonderful woman. Godly woman. God doesn't give us an easy trip. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Friends, if God wants you to tribulate, guess what? You're going to tribulate. Okay? In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and because He has overcome the world, we're assured we're going to overcome the world. Okay? He didn't promise an easy trip. But He did say, we're going to arrive at our destination. Get in the boat, boys. We're going to the other side. Okay? Here's another reason they shouldn't have been afraid. Who's in the boat with them? Jesus is. Amen? Guess what? If Jesus Christ is in your boat, what do you got to fear? You and God are a majority, aren't you? That's the promise of Scripture. One and God's a majority. If Jesus Christ is in our boat, there ain't nothing to fear. They'd already seen His power demonstrated in the miracles. So why had that not produced some measure of confidence? I'll bet you every single one of us, if we took the time, and we don't have the time tonight, but we all could stop and think about a time when we saw there was no way we were going to meet a need, but God met it. How come when God met the need way back then, we don't think He can meet needs now? How come we always think we got to get involved and help Him out? If Jesus is the master of every situation, and Jesus already knows what He's going to do in every trial of your life. And I venture to say that one day we're going to get up to heaven, and maybe it's just my weirdness, but I think we're all going to be showing a room of all these blessings we could have had, but we didn't get because we didn't trust. Now, you can go home and chew on that all night and say, man, that pastor's weird. That's all right. You know, I can deal with that. See, when we say we trust God, what does that mean for you? Is that just words? Or do you have some trials in your life where you have learned to lean on the Lord so that you can say, I know I can trust Him? See, that's what faith is. Forsaking all, I trust Him. I know I can trust Him because He saw me through this and He saw me through that and He brought me through this and He brought me through that. I know. You know, when faith is tried and tested and you pass the test, well, what happened to Job? Do you know the end of the story? He lost 10 children. God gave him 10 children, and he had more than he ever had at the beginning of the book. God restored it all because Job, though he struggled throughout the book, growing in his faith, the fact is, he grew. And when he grew, God blessed him. So we have nothing to fear. Third reason why they should not have been afraid. What was Jesus doing? Now this is Jesus in the flesh. So don't get the idea that God in heaven, when you're going through a trial, is somehow asleep and you can't dial 911 Jesus. All right? He's always there. But here on earth, He's sound asleep in the midst of the storm. Now friends, if Jesus is sleeping in the midst of the storm, what on earth do they have to be afraid of? He's told them, we're going to the other side. He's in their boat, and He's sound asleep. You would think they could put one and one and come up with two and know, hey, we don't have anything to fear. Jesus said we're going. He's in the boat with us. Where's Jesus today in you? Where's He live in you? In your heart. Friend, this old tent that you see of me and that I see of you, that's all it is. It's just a ship. But Jesus has said we're going to the other side. And the Bible said He lives in our heart. And if Jesus lives in our heart in the presence of the Holy Spirit, what do we have to fear? We're going to the other side. no matter what we go through in life, no matter how painful, how terrible, how hurtful, whatever, you put the words to it, we are going to the other side. So all we get to do is rest in Jesus. Isn't that great? We can just rest in Jesus. Rest means to trust Him for all that He has said, all that He would do. He is sound asleep. And instead of worrying, Lord, don't you care about moi? They should have been saying, well, if He's asleep, we might as well rest too. How many of you are kind of prone to stay up all night long worrying from time to time? Thank you, another brave one. Thank you, another brave one. How many of you have ever lost sleep because you're fearful of some situation that's going on, you're not certain, it's just twisting in your mind? Another brave one, another brave one. Listen, God works 24/7, so you don't have to. Okay? Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, to Psalm 4:8. Psalm 4:8. The next time the devil gets to working on you, or the circumstances of life begin to mount, and you begin to question, and you begin to start to slip in your ship, understand this and read this verse. Psalm 4:8. Brother Steve over there, nice and loud. Isn't that great to know? Where do we dwell? Where were the disciples dwelling on that day in the boat? In safety. Jesus is in the boat. They're going to the other side. He's asleep. They had nothing to fear. Nor do we. No matter what we face in life, we're completely safe in the Lord. He's promised us we're going home. Amen. And so what we need to learn from the disciples and understand is that what produces fear, whether it be people, circumstances within us, is simply this. It is unbelief. Now, we don't want to call it that. We like to say, no, no, Pastor, it's not that. It's just, you see, I'm just not quite certain I can trust God. No, friend, that's unbelief. That's what it is. And that's what made them question whether Jesus really cared. And there's a warning found in Hebrews 3:12 that says, beware of an evil heart of unbelief. See, we have an enemy, don't we? It's the old devil. And oh, he likes to get in there and he likes to work. Isn't it interesting? He only shows up late at night. By the time we're ready to lay down and go to sleep, he shows up and starts talking in our ear. That's why I gave you Psalm 4:8. See, if you have the promise of God, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace, for thou only makest me to dwell in safety. You can tell the devil, take a hike. Psalm 4:8, Hebrews 3:12.
Yep.
Okay? And so, here's what the disciples did know prior to this experience in their lives. They'd seen Jesus have the power to forgive sin. They'd seen Jesus have the power to cast out the demons, to heal diseases. But what they needed to learn, and the reason for this test, is what many Christians need to learn today. Jesus has authority over all the circumstances and trials in our life, no matter what they may be. Okay? Trust Him. When the winds and storms of life rage in your life, and rage they will, don't be found crying out to God for explanation. How many of you want to know why you've ever had to go through something? Listen, if God told you, you probably wouldn't understand it anyway. We don't live on explanation. We live on promises. Standing on the promises of Christ my Lord. Standing on the promises of Christ my Lord. When you believe and trust in the promises of God, you're going safely to the other side. That's why Psalm 4:8 is so important. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Brother James, Jesse, would you close us in prayer tonight?